to help you in your direction of thinking, will you please look with me at the book of Lamentations, just two or three verses, then we'll go to the book of Ephesians. So in Lamentations and chapter 3, and I'll read from chapter 3, and I read like this from verse 22. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. What a blessing those verses are, particularly in our day. Now to the book of Ephesians, and we'll spend some time tonight in a rather brief overview, but with particular emphasis in chapter 5. In chapter 5, I'll read the very first two verses, and they read like this. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Let me pray. Our Father, thank You for this blessed book. This book that has no mistakes. This book that came from Your heart. And You have given to us what You want us to know. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your goodness and Your mercy and Your long-suffering. And tonight, when we look at this passage and look at this wonderful book that You gave to the Apostle Paul, please help us. May we take it in, and may we be so serious about the text itself that we'll obey it immediately and happily. Please, O God, will You help us as You attend the cases of folks who are ill, particularly our pastor right now and others in our body. Thank You for Your great grace, and we depend on You. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. I want to first let you see the overview of Ephesians. Here is Paul, a spiritual warrior, and much time was spent on his part fighting, exposing heresy, challenging enemies of the faith, expelling ignorance, shaking Christians from apathy and laziness. There were the letters to Corinth, where he confronted quarrels that were tearing the church apart. And there was the letter to Galatians, where he battled legalists who were trying to imprison souls of believers. In 2 Thessalonians, he fought confusion and fear. And 1 and 2 Timothy, they lacked the confidence, and he addresses that issue. And then the book of Colossians, where it was false doctrine that he dealt with. But then there is this wonderful book of Ephesians. Here, Paul exchanges his sword for a paintbrush. And he paints a magnificent portrait of Christ and His people. Chapters 1 through 3, you'll recognize, having studied it, that's a doctrinal passage. And Paul exchanges that sword, as I said, for a paintbrush and begins to paint the doctrine that you and I must be very careful to follow. Christ, his death, resurrection, exaltation, being reconciled, us, having reconciled us to God, and united Jews and Gentiles into one body of which the Lord is the head. Chapter 2, Ephesians and verse 16. So now, chapter 1, if you follow it, it shows what God has done for us, emphasizing God's generosity and our Lord's headship in verse 3, chapter 1. Chapter 2 shows what Christ has done for us. Chapter 1, what Christ has done for us. But in addition, in chapter 2, what Christ has done in us. And he focuses on God's grace, verses 4 through 6. And then chapter 3, he shows the revelation discussing what the mystery means to us in verses 3 through 5. In chapter 4, now he shifts from that doctrine to the practical steps of faith. There's an explanation of the walk of the believer. Here are steps listed for us, and they include the following. Humility. Gentleness. Patience. Unity. Tolerance. Love. Knowledge. Maturity. Stability. Honesty, harmony, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Then, chapter 5 that we read two verses from, it shows the life of the dedicated follower that follows our Lord's conduct in three ways. First, our Lord's conduct in the world. And secondly, our Lord's conduct in the home. And in the third place, our Lord's conduct in the workplace. And then chapter 6. And it shows the strategy of the warrior, verses 10 through 20. And it shows the plan of attack against demonic forces and human opposition. And then with a conclusion, again, the mention of grace and peace in verses 21 through 24. Now, that's just a brief overview of all that's contained there, which is the Word of God. Now remember, all of us, we must remember, we're all under the headship of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord, and we are to be submissive to him and to each other. And secondly, we belong to a body. We're not alone. We do not have to act on our own or handle our problems by ourselves. We have a refuge in the body of Christ. And then, as a necessity, We need to be committed to Christ, to His church, and to each other. So, we're under the headship of Christ. We're not alone. And then we can stand against the assault of our enemies. We have God's resources, and they've been made available to us, and we've been given all things, and we need to become equipped to use them properly. That's one of the reasons for your attendance on a steady basis in the local assembly, that you might be, along with others, equipped so that you can face the errors of the day and be able to answer with a wonderful, biblical, godly answer to people who are struggling and to people who are attacking the truth of our living God. So, here's this book, Ephesians, and it presents the wealth of the Christian. And it presents the walk of the Christian. And it presents the warfare of the Christian. Now let's understand. The perfect God is working according to the good pleasure of His will. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Ephesians 1, verse 11. This, our perfect God, is working according to His eternal purpose. Chapter 3, verse 11. And then, our perfect God is working to magnify His grace and His glory. Chapter 1, verse 6 and chapter 1, verse 12. And then this perfect God is working according to His mighty power. Chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 10. And finally, let's understand. The sinner, you, if you've been saved, I have been saved, the sinner is saved. But now listen carefully. But God would have him sanctified, and after all, with everything God intends to do, and God intends to be in our hearts and our lives, the sanctification, and is showing us now how to be a saint. That saint is to be personally separated unto God, by which the fountain of fullness in Christ has been opened to him. But now, my friend, as there are degrees of degradation in sinnerhood, so there are degrees of holiness in sainthood. And as the trend of the sinner's life without Christ is always downward, so the trend of the saint's life in Christ is always upward. Christ came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. So for the church and for the Christian, there is a fullness of life in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 23. The church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. chapter 3, verse 19, filled unto all the fullness of God. In chapter 5, verse 18, we are to be filled with the Spirit. My friends, this matter of living for Jesus is the most serious thing in all of life. He saved you. Now He keeps you. And He wants you to be both sanctified and holy. May God help us as His children to face the issues of the day walking in the Spirit. God bless you. Father, thank you for your goodness, wonderful goodness, grace that is impossible to explain, a lifestyle that in its preparation, as we serve, is getting us ready to come to heaven. Thank you. Lord, thank you that you've been yonder in the eternity doing interior decorating for us. And we're looking forward to it. So in the name of Jesus, anyone who has not trusted you, may they do so for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. What a challenging message. And these are unprecedented times, and we need to be sure that we are, in fact, living for Jesus every day, every moment. And I pray that you'll be able to take these things and apply them to your life. Also, one of the other elements that we have for our midweek service is our time of prayer. Now, our God can hear us pray from wherever we are. And we have emailed out our midweek prayer bulletin. If you did not receive that, please send an email to woodside@woodsidebaptist.org, and we'll make sure we add you to the list. We could even get one sent out to you tonight. But please take this time and go through that prayer bulletin. And if you have additions or corrections, please email also woodside@woodsidebaptist.org, and we can get those updates out there as well. But take some time now. Pray together as a family at home, wherever you may be. Please pray for those requests, others that you may be aware of. And pray that this will soon pass so we can again fellowship together face to face instead of just through the electronic means. Thank you for being a part of our service tonight. If you would also like to email your response to Brother Chuck, feel free to send that as well, how his message impacted you, to the woodside@woodsidebaptist.org, and we'll be sure to forward that on to him. Have a wonderful evening, and Lord willing, we'll see you soon.